Now, suppose you were baking a cake. You had a recipe to put in 1 cup of flour and 3 eggs. And for some reason or other, you put in 3 cups of flour and 1 egg. Well, that's the end of your cake. Now, because God is the creator, the recipe must be perfect. And until we learn how to follow it, obviously we bake the wrong kind of cake, the wrong life. Now, very clearly, we are told that we must learn to come above the body consciousness. And I hold this out there for you so that you will look at the challenge and realize this is something you've got to come to grips with. There must be an overcoming of the body consciousness. And until we do, we're making up our own recipe. We're living in a consciousness of the body, and that's the same body that will have a tomb over it. Now, we don't have to do that. In fact, we dare not. If we wish to live as the son, the child of spirit. Spirit doesn't have a human body. And so as long as I'm in a body consciousness, I've hit my snag and I'm at a bottleneck. And all progress from that point on is going to be purely mental. Now, we deal with these things here because it's so easy to persuade ourselves that if I just learn how to handle my finances better, or if I don't over-exercise or don't over-exert, or maybe if I hire somebody else to do the lawn, things will be right. Now, that's fine. That's fine. But what we're trying to learn here is not how to be more comfortable, or how to live another 2 years. We're trying to learn the secret of life eternal. We're trying to learn exactly the Christ message, and not to be willing to pause on the way and take a detour and say, I've gone as far as I want to go. From this point on, I'll just coast in. We're seeking the ultimate. And ultimately, only those who are seeking the ultimate can possibly listen to this message, because it continues in that manner. It is seeking to reach the point where we can look at a wall and realize why Jesus could walk through it. Where we can look at water and realize why Jesus could walk on it. And when we can see that he didn't walk through a wall, but that there was no wall there, we will have caught what we're seeking. We're seeking truth. And there is no matter, and as long as you entertain the belief of matter as truth, reality, something to be reckoned with, you're still in a body consciousness. An awareness of a physical universe, when the very essence of Christ's understanding is that there is a non-physical kingdom of God governed only by God, not by Herod Antipas, not by Pilate, not by Russia, not by China, not even by the United States, governed by God. And that the only way you live in this government as a citizen of the kingdom of God is to become a spiritually realized being. There's no other way to live in the government of God. You cannot live in a material body, in a material concept, and live in the government of God. For you, there's always a Russian tank, or a tax collector, or a physical problem. But for you, when you are above the body consciousness, even though you still appear in a human form, you live and walk in the government of God, the invisible kingdom of God. And you're in the two worlds, the one that is in reality, and human sense, looking at that one that is living in the kingdom of God, will still see the form called Jesus. Human sense will still see the physical you, even though you're living in the kingdom of God. Now, certain things have come through that I want to share with you. If you were to take an atom and multiply it in size through an enlarging machine 1 billion times, you still couldn't see it. That's how small it is. Now, this atomic body that you allegedly have is nothing but the imagination of a world brain. But from it, because the world brain individualizes as your individual brain, you perceive this atomic body as a physical body. You perceive nothing as nothing. Now, this so-called physical body, then, is your mental perception of a nothing, which you have accepted as a something, and it becomes a physical form. Not under the law of God, because obviously it would be perfect if it were under the law of God. Now, this atom is so small that you cannot see it. And yet, because you cannot see it, you still can form, in spite of the fact that you cannot see it, you can still form a concept of it. Here you are looking at something you can't see, and you have a concept of it. Do you see the marvelous thing science has done for us by revealing that which doesn't exist called the atom? You can look at that which is allegedly there, but you can't see it. And yet that's what your body is made of. Now then, if you cannot see it, but it appears to be your physical form, what is death? What is death but your concept can no longer maintain itself? You can't hold that vision of the invisible atom, which you have called your form, and you lose that vision. And that separation from the atom, through your inability to perceive it any further, creates a change in your concept called death. Now, where do you go? You don't go. It wasn't you in the first place. You don't go anywhere. But you do come into another level of this consciousness. And there are those who, in parting, you've heard the stories, no doubt, many times, those in parting who begin to talk as if they were identifying someone who isn't visible to anyone else. Hello, Mary. Just before the moment of going, hello, Mary. Hello, Jack. And we have thought, well, they've gone out of their minds. But there are also those who came back. They didn't go very far. They came back and they said, well, Mary was my daughter who died. I saw her. No, this wasn't out of my mind. I was out of my human mind. But I actually saw Mary. I even talked with Mary. And I talked with Jack. They went on ahead of me, but I caught up with them. And then someone here called me back. So I came back. Now, you've heard such cases. Now then, it gives us a clue that's very important here. The consciousness from human to that new consciousness which then appears after death, because the consciousness is never broken, that accelerated consciousness after death is still the same one, but now it lives on another level. But that level is still between the outer perception that we have entertained and that inner atom. Because it's 1 billion miles away, that atom. You can multiply it 1 billion times up and still not see it. Between there is a lot of leeway. And so you can die to this human sense and come below this human sense and still be plenty degrees away from that still invisible atom in your concept. And even after death, you are still in the concept of the atom, but you're a little closer to it. You're in a new consciousness, and you can come back to this one, this concept of the atom, or that concept of the atom. They're both false. They're just different levels of the concept that we entertain of an invisible atom. And you see, if you develop that other consciousness of the after death, while you're on this side of it, well, how can you have death? The whole idea of death is transformation from this consciousness to that consciousness. But if you have that consciousness, how can you change from it? And so you can't die. We're beginning to see that human death is completely exposed as the illusion of our changing concept about an atom that isn't there. And the more you dwell on this, the more it begins to talk to you. And you finally find that when you have a Christ consciousness, which is not a consciousness of an atom at all, but is simply the awareness of the divine image and likeness, then there's no change at all possible. There are no degrees. And in a Christ consciousness, you're walking in the kingdom of God here in a form. And where do you go when the form goes? Well, you can't go anywhere. The same Christ consciousness is you that was you in the form. You're above the law of material death. Now, do we want to find how to be comfortable for 2 more years? Do we want to find how to meet our financial responsibilities? Or do we want to find this Christ self which is above the law of material death? If it's impossible, you might as well throw away the Bible. And if it's possible, you might as well throw away everything else. Because this is all that would make life worthwhile, to find that which is and discard that which isn't. To change from the garment of lies to the garment of truth. There is an area where human consciousness changes and becomes another consciousness, and we have called it death. And that same consciousness it changes to can come right back. If there's a Jesus to say, Lazarus, come forth, to prove that the consciousness that died is still a living consciousness. And this little bitty heart transplant is just the beginning of the realization of the full depth of Lazarus, come forth. There is a living consciousness there. You can come back. This little child is sleeping, not dead. There's a living consciousness there. It can come back. Ah, but if it had that consciousness here instead of there, it wouldn't have to go anywhere, would it? And if it had the full consciousness here, where could it go? We're getting new ideas about life and death. And we're beginning to lose this paralyzing fear about a death that never happens. Why? Because the body consciousness is what persuades you that someone has died, or that someone is sick, or that someone has a problem. It all comes down to the body consciousness. And it's a consciousness of nothing. Nothing. Which is exactly what we learn to become. Nothing. Now, as we unknow the body consciousness, what's left? While we're talking right now, for example, about losing our material consciousness, it's almost impossible for you to quickly lose the idea that there is something under your feet holding you up. And yet, what is there under your feet holding you up? If matter is not real, what's holding you up? And if matter is not real, why is there something to hold up? Do you see what losing the body consciousness is going to involve? Is there an earth under your feet? If the earth is matter, yes. But if the earth is not matter, but is the Lord's, if the earth is spirit, and the fullness of the earth is spirit, is it holding you up? Is it holding all these buildings up? You see, once you begin to work on losing the body consciousness, you are releasing yourself from bondage to the tomb. We don't get buried when we die, we're buried now. That's just the final realization of it. We're buried in a body consciousness. And the body consciousness tells us that we're mortal, material beings walking on a material earth, where tanks come. And men say, you go to sleep and you can't come out till 5 o'clock. There's a curfew. This is material law, only because there's a body consciousness to hear it. There's not a Hezekiah. There's not a Christ consciousness standing there to say, thou hast no power over me, because I have lived in the consciousness of God. All of India, with all its great sages, where's the Christ consciousness? It's mouthing. It's mouthing. It's working illusions. We have to come out of this consciousness called matter, and then we will see why it was possible for Paul to say there is neither male nor female. What an incredible statement. There is neither male nor female. Look how deep you must go in order to rise out of that consciousness of male or female. I bet you in Czechoslovakia they don't believe what he said about there's neither bond nor free. And I'll bet in Israel they don't believe what he said about there's neither Greek nor Jew. Because there must be the Christ consciousness there before you can see that these great revelations given to us are to show us the totality of the ascension to which we must aspire. When you can look out and see neither male nor female, bond nor free, Greek nor Jew, why will it be? Because you have not accepted yourself as a physical being. You have put yourself back into the first chapter of Genesis where you belong. You're living as the creation of God, not subservient to human law. You're not going to disobey human law or walk past your responsibilities as an individual on this earth, because your heavenly Father knoweth your needs, but rather grace becomes the law that flows through you, and it is the I power within you that is greater than him on the face of the earth. Take all your human enemies, your human ideas about material selves and the problems these material selves have, and see that there is an oasis in the midst of them, a table, a place where you can live in the midst of all these falsities, a secret place where the servant of the Most High receives the living word, the grace, and it flows through you. Because there's no body there. There's no material being there. There's no barricade saying, keep out. There's an open invitation to the Father. Enter, Father. Speak, Father. Thy servant heareth. And in this oneness, because the body consciousness has been removed, the law of grace is functioning. You have found the oasis, the table in the midst of thine enemies. And whether it's physical, emotional, or moral, or financial, these enemies cannot stand there in the presence of the Spirit of the Father. You're way above John the Baptist. You're walking with the disciples. You're walking with God. Now, every time we are willing to sit back and say, well, I've gone far enough, just add one more question. Am I still living in a body consciousness? And if I am, my day's work isn't over. I've still got something to do today. And I better stop thinking about tomorrow, because my today is very important. Today is how I determine what happens tomorrow. and yesterday is determining today. That which I do today is completely depends on what I did yesterday. And if I want tomorrow to be in the kingdom of God, it better be today or it won't be tomorrow. Tomorrow is today. And the future is now. And in the I consciousness, which transcends the body consciousness, time is changing for you into the eternal expression. Space is changing for you into the infinite expression. The law of good and evil is changing into the expression of grace. All of the things of this world slowly are converted, not into an atomic thing, but they're converted back to the original, the genuine, the one and only, the immaculate. And all of the laws of divine harmony function in the one who has been able to step out of the body, which is nothing more than a body consciousness. That's all stepping out of the body ever meant. To step out of your consciousness of matter. As long as you're protecting a heart and a liver and a lung, you're rejecting the Christ teaching, and you're rejecting the Christ of your own identity. We all think that the Christ, you see, was crucified 2,000 years ago, but we're doing it today. We, in material consciousness, crucify the Christ every minute of our life. We are all crucifying the Christ when we walk down a street. As long as we have the belief in a corporeal existence, we miss the whole message of incorporeality. It's only incorporeality that can't be crucified. It's only incorporeality that multiplies loaves and fishes. It's only incorporeality that sees no withered arm. And where you see the withered arm and the hungry and the dead, you're looking at corporeality through the eyes of corporeality. And we're in the tomb. To arise from the tomb, to be risen, to awake from the sleep of a physical world is a release. You can cry out about the things of this physical world. Well, that's almost like a child crying out about things it doesn't understand. That isn't for you anymore. There's nothing to cry about in this physical world except to unsee it, to unknow it, to accept your reality. And when the evils of this world beset you, you can even say, thank you, Father. I was complacently accepting myself in a body consciousness and in a human life. And I was going to settle for just a simple human life of happiness or peace. Don't go to God for a little human life of happiness and peace. He hasn't got it to give you. God cannot give you a human life. And you cannot expect God to guarantee you a happy human life. Or a happy life in a material body. And that's why our prayers are so futile. Now, you may not like to hear that you've got to drop your body consciousness, and you have the right not to do it. But there are those among you who know that it must be done, and we want to learn the ways of doing it. And they all come down to the purification, which is possible only when the sense mind has abated, when it can look out and see that there's no power in the material world over spiritual identity. Matter has power over matter, but matter has no power over spirit. The hammer and the nail do not enter the spirit. The crucifixion does not touch the light. What kind of a world would it be if God had created a place where John the Baptist could be beheaded and armies could overrun God's creation and evils could beset those who were children of God? Your purification is to unknow all of these beliefs that the sense mind has accepted, to unknow it right back to the moment of birth, and then to unknow that too. And for all you mothers who say, oh, well, he can't tell me I didn't give birth to a physical boy or a physical girl, I'll reply to you, I can tell you that. Call no man your father upon the earth. The only problem you have in dropping the idea that you gave birth to a physical boy or girl is this. You still think you're a physical being. When you drop the notion that you're a physical being, you'll see you couldn't have given birth to a physical boy or girl. You are spirit, and you couldn't give birth to a physical thing any more than God can. It's the concept of you that gave birth to another concept. That's why there's neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew, bond nor free. Get rid of the physical you, and you don't have all of the physical problems. You don't have a physical death or a physical birth or a physical life to be concerned about. Now we're living in our spiritual self. And I'm not concerned about the physical self, but for some reason, nothing happens to it. Nobody comes up and stabs it. Nobody makes demands upon it that it can't fulfill, because that physical fellow out there has learned a secret. He's got infinity working for him instead of his little sense mind. He's got the whole Bank of America behind him. He's got life eternal behind him and in front of him. He is a little fellow, a nothing. And because he's a nothing, he is infinite. He is able to just wait for the Father who doeth all things. He's not saying to the Father, look what I did, I gave birth. Or I did this, or I did that. He's recognizing that only God can do anything in the world that is truth. Only the Father can do anything. And everything I humanly did was nothing whatsoever. I merely perpetuated a world of concepts because I hadn't even risen to the level of John the Baptist. And now that I do and behead, remove all those sense concepts, and then get deep into that memory which still retains them while I am talking about getting rid of them, until there's a pure me, a reborn me. And that reborn me is the only me there ever was. I've merely returned to myself, the Spirit of God. Now, as you read the Bible then, you'll find that when you have come into the understanding that you are not a physical being and that a body consciousness is a falsehood, it's actually a crucifixion of the Christ. Then you will find that the words of the Bible no longer are coming to you. They're going from you. You're sending them to that body consciousness. You're saying, look out there, don't you dare tell me you've got a pain. I, in the midst of thee, am mighty. Now you hush. You see, you're beginning to see that this body is here for one purpose, to be your servant, not your master. And all of the activities of that body have the same purpose, to be the servant of the Spirit of God that indwells that body. It becomes the temple of the living God. And now you're at a higher level. You know, well, I can't. What if that body does go? It's got to go. I want it to go. This consciousness of mine doesn't want to be fettered forever. I don't always want to have a body to watch over and to direct. Besides, I know where to get a better one. And so you begin to build your Christ body. Now you've got the Christ mind working, you can build your Christ body. And let them try to bury that one. Let every infection in the world invade you. It's about as effective as nails trying to be stuck in the air. You can't be crucified by these things anymore. Why? What's changed? Nothing. Nothing at all. You have merely come closer to the truth. You've been in reality. You're living in the Christ mind, the Christ body, and you're in the same place you always were. But now you're not in a physical body, you're unconfined. Do you see how communication and transportation are just the feeble attempts at bringing to us the understanding of the allness of your being, the omnipresence of your being? In omnipresence, what kind of transportation do you want? Transportation is for your physical body. Now, how do you transport spirit? And in communication, well, that's for two human minds. The Christ mind doesn't communicate with wires. The Holy Ghost is the communication. Omniscience is the law, and it is shared by all those in the Christ mind. Now we're coming into our kingdom. And the Bible tells us when we do, we are the princes of the kings of the earth. We're priests. We can receive word from the Father to shower out to the world. We're not beholden to material mankind, material law, but rather the Father's law is functioning through us. Now let's look back at death then and see this new consciousness that is formed at that moment is not the fully developed Christ consciousness. It's just a change from this consciousness. But if you can develop it now, that consciousness, that's that degree of death that you'll never face. And the more you develop the spiritual consciousness, the less you're going to have to do with anything called death. Now that doesn't mean we walk out of a body and there's no body to bury. The world will still have its concept of you, and that's the body they'll bury. But you will walk out, yes. You will walk out to the degree that you have attained yourself. Now then, while you're eliminating the belief in matter, something in you will be entertaining that belief at the same time. But there's a moment when you can feel that you have been walking in a spiritual universe without a spirit, without a physical body, the real you. And as you feel this, there is a freedom which no word can describe. And in that freedom, you'll find this is the perfect state of communion. When there's no material body in your mentality, when the mind is not concerned with the material world and has dropped it, and there is just a pure consciousness of you, living in the oneness with the pure consciousness of God, and this is when you're in the experience of the Holy Ghost. This is when revelation flows. This is when grace liveth your life. When the outer says, I live, yet not I, the Christ liveth my life. And this isn't just an isolated occurrence. This becomes more and more and more a normalcy. It becomes a normal consciousness. And lo and behold, the added things are appearing all the time. You didn't have to think about them. In fact, that's why they appeared. You thought not. You were in the cloud of unknowing, letting the Father do the knowing for you. To unknow your concepts, to unknow the material world around you is a glorious experience. It melts in front of you. It ceases to cling to you and to make its demands upon you. And all of the doors that before you had to open to walk through, now no longer hold. You walk through the walls of these concepts. They were holding you back. They were the bed that you had made, and you were lying in that bed, the bed of concepts. And now you can walk right through these concepts. You pick up your bed and you walk through the concepts that had littered your life, providing boundaries. You find they never were there. Limitation begins to be an obsolete word. How can God be limited? And how can the Father, flowing through the Son, express limitation? That means that unlimitation will express to the measure of the need. It doesn't mean that they're going to come into your yard and unload 12 tons of gold. To the level of the need, unlimitation becomes the law of your being. No need is removed from the fulfillment of the Father. Now, isn't that grace? Can the body cry out under those circumstances when every need is instantly met by the Father? Now, this level in which the needs are being met, the signs of following, is an introduction to another level. And in this other level, you're in the higher communication in which, through you, the works of the Father are done on earth. You're no longer an individual who has risen to a point where you are showing forth the fruitage. You are now a depot. You're beginning to build into a spiritual household. Now that you've proven yourself, now that you know more about the truth of your being and your neighbor's being, you're a household, you're a level, you're a plateau, and you find you have a family of others at that level with whom you can work collectively to bring the light through. You see, we've been trained not for ourselves at all. At first, we want to be comfortable. And later, we learn that it goes deeper. And when we have a touch of the light, we learn we don't have it at all. We're nothing but a place where the light goes through for a larger purpose. And at that level, where you are absolutely nothing except a place where the light shows itself, you're only then beginning to really be born. You're still in the throes of labor. You still haven't put on the robe of immortality, but you have a good bit of evidence about it. Now, when do the three magi come? When does the world beat a path to your door? When you cease to exist as a human being. That's the moment. And then all there is the Christ babe. The spirit realized. The birth of the babe in your consciousness is that moment when there is no human being where you are. And then there is the child of God. That's your immaculate conception realized. Now that child of God isn't male or female. It isn't Greek or Jew. It isn't bond or free. It is spirit. And from that moment on, every Herod Antipas in the world is powerless against you. Because that child is the power of God. If we could meditate at this moment, for those of you who can relinquish this feeling of an earth beneath your feet and a heaven above you, and rest in the allness of God right here and now, wherever you are, you will see that we have placed these physical places around us and they're not there. You are walking in omnipresence every moment of your life. All that surrounds you is God, spirit, freedom. There is no matter. This incredible concept is formed of the mist that came over the world. The substance of it is pure imagination. And it's possible to prove that in small ways and then bigger ways and then in monumental ways. There simply never was a material world. It is not your Father's kingdom. And as long as you live in it, you are crucifying the Christ just as much as they did physically 2,000 years ago. Only you're doing worse. You're crucifying yourself and letting an imposter take its place. And these glorious moments of meditation are the release from that imposter. When you drop the false you and put on the mantle of glory. The I that stood at the door knocking enters to bring you life abundant. I am the life, and I am yourself. I am your being. I am the Christ that you have buried, but now I am unentombed. I am your new consciousness. I have come to take you through the kingdom of God. Cease ye now from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Cease from the physical body. Cease from the mortal mind. Awake. That's all you do to cease. Awake. And Christ will give thee light. And this light is the life of every man. Not confined, not finite, completely free. And in that moment of freedom is the beginning of a new experience. Now, we won't make the mistake of trying to jump out of our skins, but we can, with persistent meditation on that subject, find an inner release. And even though at times you may find that the problem seems insurmountable, while you're working at it, backing away from it, and finally being forced to a dead end, don't be surprised if behind you a little doorway opens up. It may seem almost impossible, but something does open, a little gleam of light, and you stride forward through it, and you find you have reduced the mountain to a molehill. Something has taken over, something that reaches through and lifts you up and says, "Well done." And that's how it's done. You don't do it. You simply try, and you release yourself, and this inner something takes you invisibly and lifts you over the hurdles. And in a moment, truth steals in. Like a little trapdoor opens in the mind that you didn't know was there. And yes, you can see it, you can feel it, you can know it. you have entered a depth you didn't know you had. Or maybe one you once did enter and something you've just returned to. Now you can take another breath because your journey is only beginning. There's more of the same. And as the ability to enter the secret place develops, the outer world is going to throw more evil at you. More and more, because it wants you to enter more of these trapdoors. Until there's no evil too great for you. And when there's no evil too great, there'll be no evil. When it stops having power over you, it stops being there. And there's no more trapdoors to go through. The kingdom has no trapdoors. Now, the best friend you'll ever have is a light within you. Make a friend of it. It will prove its friendship and introduce you to the Father. When you read John the Baptist and Herod and Jesus and see the whole panorama spread before you, you will see that this physical world is just McGuffey's reader. Read it for what it's worth, but keep it out there where it has no power, just a teaching done in time and space and motion and material consciousness to make the Christ of you rise up out of this tomb. Be still and know that I am God, and I'm in perfect control of the perfect kingdom. You can trust God to be running a perfect universe in spite of what you see. And see the hand behind what you see. And it will rent the veil for you. Anyone who can practice meditation then with their eyes open will begin to see the non-power of the physical world. Finally, that sense perception will just stand outside, never, never entering to defile. When the revelation of St. John tells us that the consciousness of God cannot be defiled, it is telling us that nothing can change the perfection of God that exists. Nothing can change it. Your Father will always feed you his. Well, thanks a million. Thanks very much.
Thank you.